The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Our first guest is the outgoing president of the Garda Representative Association, Brendan O'Connor. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Matt.
Now, one of the things that's very interesting from your conference, which started in Westport, is that frontline Gardaí don't have the resources, training or protective equipment to deal with far-right intimidation and violence. And just literally on the protective equipment, I think people will be shocked to hear that one of the Gardaí who had to deal with those rioters in Dublin last November actually lost a toe because the standard issue steel toe boots did not cover his entire foot. Tell us about that, please, Brendan, because that sounds absolutely ridiculous as well as shocking.
Well, I suppose, Matt, it doesn't come as a shock to guards because we would be fairly used to having what we would consider not standard equipment. But I understand, and I'm not an expert in the field, but there's the footwear that's an issue to the public order unit in a Garda Síochána is not as high a standard that is available to other European police services, and there's a higher grade, a better standard of boots available. But obviously, what happened that night in Dublin has focused attention on the issue, and therefore a motion was brought by a public order trained member to our conference and discussed, and that the factors you outlined there were highlighted.
Well, I'm very sorry for the Garda who lost his toe in relation to that, but if I remember correctly as well, there were all sorts of issues on that particular day that Gardaí were even having to return home to get their equipment because there wasn't enough room to store it in the various Garda stations.
Yes, that is the thing that we constantly hear from our members and experience ourselves as Operation Gardaí, and that Gardaí, obviously, who are public order trained, have significant amounts of equipment and their uniform takes up quite a bit of space. But instead of having additional locker space in stations, they're forced to leave it at home. So on the night in question, yes, we have reports of guards having to jump into cars and drive around a number of houses, load up their gear, come back to stations and parade for duty whenever there was an urgent need for them to be scrambled and deployed. So we just believe that's unacceptable and it shouldn't take place. I think the public would find it unacceptable. When the state goes to the trouble of investing in the members, providing them for equipment, surely the basic thing should be to have something as basic as a locker. But that's where we're at in the Garda Síochána. In 2024, we're still fighting for some very, very rudimentary and basic facilities and equipment for our members.
You also spoke about Gardaí being intimidated. In what way?
Well, the intimidation of Gardaí is an ongoing issue in recent years. It's actually the protests are focused maybe on public representatives now and veering into other social issues. But you're talking about people confronting guards, being aggressive, putting phones in their faces and trying to, we would say, possibly provoke them, and just general intimidation and abusive gestures and words towards them. And sometimes they're putting footage or photographs up online and appealing for information about the identity of guards and maybe asking for their home addresses. So that's something that we've witnessed. Probably it started in and around the water protest and has got considerably worse, but there's very much a focus on it now in recent times when we see protests at the homes of public representatives, which is absolutely reprehensible behaviour condemned outright by the Garda Representative Association.
And also I believe you're concerned that the current public order legislation does not allow Gardaí to take the required action. Why not?
Well, we're just concerned that, the level of the protest and the tactics being adopted by the protesters, just our members wouldn't have experience or clear guidance. Now, the statutes of course are open to interpretation, and the behaviour of citizens, of those involved in protests may cross that threshold. But again, as has been said by the Taoiseach, yes, it's not clear whether legislation is robust enough. And our members, as we say, come back to the old chestnuts of training. You know, we need to sit down and be proper tuition and tease out these issues and guarantee clear directions and instructions as to whether they are appropriate. But then when the guards have to be satisfied that the legislation, because if the guard makes an arrest, it has to stand over that. And it's the individual guard that exercises the power if they're not acting on direction or instruction. So that's where we're looking for clear guidance and instruction. We're not saying that the legislation isn't appropriate, but certainly it was drafted at a time prior to some of the technology and maybe prior to some of the tactics that are being used. So, but it will take maybe prosecutions and test cases in the courts to decide whether legislation is applicable or not.
Now, Brendan, something else that you weren't personally present at, but you know a lot about from talking to your colleagues. What about the protest outside Integration Minister Roderick O'Gorman's home at the weekend? Because one of your colleagues last night said the video footage was edited and used as disinformation. Can you explain that to us, please?
To be honest, Matt, I can't. I just understand that the manner in which the footage was portrayed, I understand that they've taken this third hand from my own listening to the footage, is that perhaps some of the footage and some of the behaviour that was shown on video didn't actually take place or had finished prior to the arrival of Gardaí. But again, I stand to be corrected, but it was edited in such a way to make it appear that Gardaí were present while certain behaviours took place. And I took no action, and I understand that is not accurate. But again, I couldn't say with definite, but I understand that to be the position.
Okay, but would it be your understanding, though, that if the Gardaí had come upon masked men outside a private individual's house, putting up banners and posters on the railings of that house, that the Gardaí would have intervened?
Well, again, Matt, it's very hard to comment on exact circumstances and the nature. I mean, per se, putting a banner up on a wall may not be in itself a criminal offence, but if the content or the language being used is such that it might intimidate or put someone in fear, or it might provoke a breach of the peace, well then obviously there would be an offence. But again, without knowing the exact context, what was said and how it was done, and in the manner and how it affected the person who may witness it, it's the perception of the person who is targeted that too comes into the equation, whether someone feels threatened or in danger. But certainly, it seems there were quite sinister elements to the protest.
Yeah, I suppose hypothetically, though, if somebody starts putting up banners on somebody's private property, then, and if the person feels intimidated and unable to go out to the railings or wall of their private property because of the nature of the people doing it, they might expect the Gardaí to intervene.
They might, and as I say, without knowing the exact circumstances, but then you're into the whole sphere of private property, public property, definitions of a public place under the Road Traffic Act is different from the definition of a public place under the Public Order Act. So, again, and I'm not dodging the question, you really need to sit down and see and look at and assess each situation and see whether the behaviour constitutes a breach of legislation and whether the breach that's highlighted actually has a power of arrest. Because while something may be an offence, there may not be a purpose, but certainly anything in the field of offences against the person and generally public order offences are arrestable, as in an arrest can be made. But there's summary offences, public order, which are proceeded with by way of a summons or prosecution in the district court.
Okay, can I ask you, Brendan, what do you make of the fact that the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, decided not to attend your conference in a gesture of support for the Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris, who you hadn't invited?
Yes, well, We think that it's inappropriate. We actually believe that our issues with the Garda Commissioner are in relation to operation policing matters, and we believe that the Minister, there should be a degree of separation between her function and that of the Commissioner. We have issues in relation to our terms of employment and pensions and stuff like that are within the remit of the Minister that are outside of the sphere of the Commissioner. And while a lot of people have levelled criticisms of the GRA, in recent times, that we have personalised the issue with Commissioner Harris, we would say it's not personal, but yet the Minister has chosen to make it very clear that her decision is based out of personal allegiance. So we think it's inappropriate, and we think she should have been here, and she should have maybe perhaps come down and debated with us and challenged our decision and her views, but certainly we believe she should have been here.
But surely, Brendan, your beef with the Commissioner is personal. After all, you had an overwhelming vote of no confidence in him last year. That's as personal as it can get.
Well, as we said at the time, Matt, the vote is really about the direction of the organisation, the changes that have been implemented, and him as the Commissioner, as he's been referred to as the CEO of the organisation. That's where the frustration and the ire of our members was directed. But certainly not as him as a personal or his personality. Yes, his role and his performance in his role and the direction in which he has brought the organisation is what our members have an issue with.
Well, one other thing that he's introduced has been 30 minutes of road policing is what you're all going to have to do as part of your shift. So what's your position on that?
We're just a little bit perplexed, Matt. We don't know how it is going to work, because what we're saying is That's what guards should be doing anyway, because when you're travelling between calls, you're on a patrol vehicle, you're on patrol, and if you observe breaches of the Road Traffic Act, you would be duty-bound to intervene. So it's not something new, the guards don't know. But then is it the case that guards will be told, stop going from call to call to call, and if there's a criminal damage report or a public order, at Mr. Cooper's house, that he's told you have to wait half an hour because the patrol car has been dispatched, has to do 30 minutes. It's not clear. What we do fear, Matt, is that it will become nothing more than a statistical exercise. And what will happen is guards will be told, make sure you log that on the system, and we'll have guards sitting in stations ringing a call centre to record the fact that they did a patrol for 30 minutes, and it'll be trotted out as a statistic in defence of depleting resources. So, you know, that's maybe our cynicism, but that's really what we've been conditioned to expect from the way that the organisation has been managed.
And would Gardaí have any objection to greater use of technology such as cameras at traffic lights to detect people breaking red lights and issuing automatic fines, or having more average speed cameras on the roads where the offences would be detected and dealt with by technology rather than necessarily having to be done by Gardaí, who have other things to be getting on with?
No, like our members are in the business of protecting and saving lives, and we have seen witness firsthand the carnage on the road and the devastation of families. So anything that enhances road safety is something that we are open towards. But I suppose what we would always be, again, cautious of is a move towards a situation where technology is seen as an alternative for the eyes of our member of Garda Síochána and their professional judgment in relation to issues such as dangerous driving and driver behaviour that wouldn't be captured on the camera, but is the type that leads and contributes to road death.
Thank you very much for being with us. Brendan O'Connor, outgoing president of the Garda Representative Association.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.